Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about being saved. Many Christians use this term to describe their time of conversion when they reject their life of sin and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Sometimes there is confusion on what it really means to be saved. Let's take a look at some things and see if we can clear up some of the confusion that Satan is spreading around out there. Let's start out by reading Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. First of all, notice that these verses refer to the Lord Jesus. Not just the name Jesus, but Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is a much different person than just someone named Jesus. The word Lord means master, and it refers to someone who has authority over you. And if Jesus is Lord, then it means you are subject to his direction, just as a servant or slave is subject to his master's direction. Now, in today's Christian church, the term Christianity is a very broad term. People use the word Christian so loosely that many times you can't tell what a person really is just because they call themselves a Christian. But you see, a true Christian is someone who has confessed Jesus as Lord. Not just confessed Jesus as Savior, but has also confessed Jesus as Lord. There is more to Christianity than believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and rose again. Even Satan believes that much, but it doesn't make him a Christian. The part that Satan doesn't believe is that Jesus is Lord. If Satan believed that Jesus was Lord, there would have been no insurrection in heaven. If Satan believed Jesus was the Lord Jesus, then he would bow to him and worship him, and he would obey the words of Jesus. But of course, we know he doesn't do this because he doesn't recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. He doesn't recognize God as Lord. He only recognizes himself as Lord. And that is the main difference between Christians and non-Christians. Real Christians call Jesus Lord. They call Jesus their master. But let's go back to Romans 10 again and look at verse 9. In this verse, it says that if you confess the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You see, it says you must confess him. It says that you must confess the Lord Jesus. The word confess means to agree completely with what is being stated. To confess something is to declare it to be true. It is to put yourself in agreement with the concept or idea that is put forth. If you confess the Lord Jesus, what you are doing is actually telling people that you are in agreement with the concept and ideas, the words and the terms concerning Jesus Christ as Lord. When you do this, you are making a statement. You may be making this statement with your mouth, and you may be making this statement with your actions, but in either way, you will be acknowledging that Jesus is truly Lord, and therefore you are letting others know that you are in agreement with Jesus in his position of lordship over you, And this means that you are confessing that you will abide within these concepts, ideas, and teachings. Now, think of this. Just believing that Jesus was born, died, and rose again is not a sufficient confession for obtaining salvation. In order for your confession to be sufficient for receiving salvation, you must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Remember what I said earlier? Satan knows Jesus is the Son of God, and he also knows that Jesus is the Savior of the world. But what he refuses to do is to acknowledge the authority of Jesus over him. He does not confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If your confession of Jesus Christ is complete, you must confess the Lordship of Jesus. If you don't, you will not be saved. No one is saved who does not submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. If you don't humble yourself before Jesus, and you don't try to be obedient to him, then you have either not confessed him as Lord, or your confession was false. True confession of Jesus is an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is not only your Savior, but that he is your Lord and Master. Acts 2:36 tells us that God has made Jesus both Savior and Lord, not just Savior. Because Jesus is Lord, and because we are bound to him as servants to do his will, then we must also be obedient to the words he speaks to us. To confess Jesus as Lord and then to ignore his commands is a good way of telling people that you really don't believe Jesus is Lord. For if you really did believe Jesus was Lord, you would try to be obedient to every word that he spoke to you. Salvation is not based on a reward for unrighteousness, but is based on the concept of God blessing those who accept his word as truth and who desire to be subservient to that word. To call yourself a Christian and then to be disobedient to the word of God is nothing more than telling a big fat lie. And you know where liars go? Here, take a look at this scripture. John 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed.'" Notice that Jesus said that you are his disciples if you continue in his words. Continuing in the word of God is a requirement to salvation. Jesus is saying that you not only have to believe the word of God, but you have to continue in it. You see, it is obedience to the word that makes the difference of whether there is true confession unto salvation or not. Because without being obedient to the words of Jesus, you are rejecting his lordship over you. In the first 14 verses of John chapter 1, we are told that the Word existed in the beginning, and that the Word was with God. In addition to this, it clarifies that the Word was not only with God in the beginning, but that the Word was God. And reading down through the 14th verse, we see that it was the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that the Word of God was the only begotten Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Word, which is God's Word, which is also God, and was also made flesh so that God himself could be manifested to us, so that we could actually see and comprehend who and what God really is. Now, try to understand this. Jesus is the Word of God, which was made flesh in order to openly show God to human beings. God was manifested to the people of earth. The Word of God became flesh so that people could begin to comprehend who and what God is and what his thoughts and desires are. And because Jesus is actually the Word of God revealed unto men, then when you confess Jesus, you must also submit yourself to the Word of God, or else your confession is false. God's Word says that He is omnipotent. This means that God says He is almighty, all-powerful. If Satan had believed this, there would have been no heavenly insurrection. But Satan doesn't believe that God is omnipotent. Satan believes God is only powerful, but that he, Satan, can be more powerful than God. If you're a Christian, then you believe Jesus is the Word. And because you believe Jesus is Lord, then you accept the Word of God as your authority, as your master. If you believe in Jesus as Lord, then you have determined to be obedient to His Word because you recognize that the Word of Jesus is the Word of God. There is no difference. However, there are many people who call themselves Christians, but who never accept Him as Lord. They never confess that Jesus is the power and authority over them. And in this sense, they have not accepted Jesus as their Savior. Yes, they may have accepted a Jesus, or may have accepted a Jesus that is somewhat similar to Him, but they have not accepted the Jesus who is Lord and Master of all those who come to Him. They have yet to know what it means to be an indentured servant, or in essence, a slave. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." When you are bought, you are no longer your own person. You are owned by the one who bought you. This, whether you've ever considered it or not, is called being a slave. You are the slave of Jesus Christ. He owns you. God has paid the price for you through His Son, Jesus. If you are owned by Jesus, if you are owned by God, then you don't have the right to determine your own daily course of life anymore. Of course, God won't force you to serve Him at the expense of your own desires. That's your own choice. God doesn't force you to be a slave. It's up to you. You can decide to reject God's offer and then accept the responsibility for your own debt of sin. However, when you finally come to the realization that your debt of sin is greater than your ability to pay it, then you have the option of accepting Jesus Christ's offer of sacrifice to pay that debt for you. When you do this, He buys you with His blood. We see this stated plainly in the verses I just read. You are not your own. You are bought. What people don't seem to realize about saying the sinner's prayer is that they are not just taking advantage of a free ride into heaven by escaping from their debt of sin. Salvation, of itself, doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as Lord. But then, once you do this, Jesus becomes your owner, your Lord, your master. Some people would say that this isn't fair, because salvation is supposed to be free, and yet God is saying you have to serve Him the rest of your life on earth just because He paid your debt of sin. But these people don't understand the whole basic concept of repentance. Repentance means to turn away from something and go in the other direction. So therefore, in order to repent, we have to turn away from wickedness. Some people think salvation is a way to keep sinning and not to have to pay the penalty of it anymore. This is ridiculous. If you accept Jesus, you are accepting the Word of God, and the Word of God is righteousness. Satan's word is wickedness, and those who follow Satan's word are wicked. If you want to accept Jesus as Lord, then you want to follow after righteousness. When you are bought by the blood of Jesus, and then you become the servant of Jesus, All you are really doing is getting what you asked for. You want righteousness instead of the wickedness you have been living all your life. You're not just escaping hell, but you're escaping sin itself. However, if you don't want to escape sin, then you don't really want to accept Jesus, because Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is not just an escape mechanism for those who want to sin but don't want to go to hell. Jesus is an escape mechanism for those who want to escape unrighteousness, who want to get away from the evil of this world, who are tired of being in bondage to wickedness. They're tired of Satan tossing them around like waves of the sea. They want the peace that passes understanding. They want the peace of God, which is only found through the Word of God. The wicked don't want the peace of God. They just want deliverance from hell. They still want to sin. They don't want to learn righteousness. But for true Christians, the great thing about being a slave to Jesus Christ is that we no longer have to rely on ourselves for anything. We can just turn it over to Jesus, who will teach us how to walk in the paths of righteousness and order our steps each day. Yes, slavery by a wicked master is about the worst thing you can imagine, but slavery by Jesus Christ is the best thing you can imagine, because Jesus, our Lord and Master, is only going to ask us to do things that benefit us. Believe me, God does not need us to do things to benefit Him. He is all-powerful. He can accomplish anything He wants to accomplish. We were put here to do His will, not because He needed a slave, but because He wants us to join Him in righteousness. If we will allow ourselves to be set apart and become a slave to Jesus Christ, we will then be able to receive instruction from God on becoming righteous. We will learn righteousness from the bottom up. As a slave of Jesus Christ, we will be taught how to become sons of God and inheritors of the kingdom of heaven. We actually become the children of God. Think about the benefit of God being your father. Remember how little boys will brag and say something like, "My daddy can lick your daddy"? Imagine what it's like to have a daddy that can lick all the daddies together at the same time. Of course, that's a childish view, but think of what it means for you to be an actual son of God. No evil can ever come against us again when we have a father that is all-powerful. So, are you saved or just giving lip service? If you think you are saved just because you said the sinner's prayer, you might want to take a look at it again and make sure that you have actually accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, and not just accepted Jesus as a way to escape hell. If you don't want righteousness and are not determined to escape evil itself, then maybe you haven't actually attained the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ after all. In this ministry, as you probably know, we stress the importance of understanding Revelation 13. This is because the deception of Satan destroys the pure concepts of Revelation 13's warning message. The church of today is entwined with every imaginable kind of deception of the Word of God. Satan, true to his form, has twisted every part of the Bible in some way or another, and many Christians are deceived to the point that they think they are doing just fine with their current religious doctrine, never realizing that Jesus is not Lord, Jesus is not master of their lives. And once Satan accomplishes his deceptive strategy in the churches, Christians everywhere grow cold and fall away from truly serving Jesus Christ as Lord. And all this time, Satan tells them that they are doing just fine, convincing them that they don't have to worry about actually serving Jesus Christ, but that Jesus is really supposed to be serving them. The various doctrines are many, but they all come down to the same simple basic thought, that Jesus does not really have to be Lord, and that people can continue to do their own thing and still get to heaven. Let me say something here quite plainly. The church is rife with preachers who teach prosperity and living victoriously, but who never preach on the ravages of sin. They never exhort the people to humbleness, but continue to encourage pride of life, lust of the flesh, and lust of the eyes. But it is God Himself who is the Lord. It is God Himself who is to be served. God is not just a big daddy to make people rich. God is not Lord just so He can give you the delicate things of earth. God is Lord so that people will turn away from the delights of this world and set their affections on heavenly things. You know, when the Bible was given to man, it was given for a reason. God doesn't warn Christians to look for antichrists for no reason. God doesn't warn Christians about the image or mark of the beast for no reason. God doesn't warn about the great falling away for no reason. But Satan has managed to create a doctrine of his own that tells Christians not to be concerned with these things because they will be raptured before any of these things take place. This is called the pre-tribulation rapture doctrine. And what it does is to tell Christians not to worry about the warnings that the Bible gives for the end times. It tells them that they are going to be raptured out of here before any of these things take place. So why worry about it? But again, if this is so, why does the Bible warn us about them? Why does the Bible warn us if we don't need the warning after all?
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Jesus Christ is Lord, and salvation comes to those who confess that Jesus is Lord. And if this confession is a true confession, then what we will see in that person's life is the Word of God manifested in them. And as it tells us in Matthew chapter 7, it is the fruit of a person's life that tells whether that person really is a child of God or not. And yes, I know that the Bible tells us that works are not necessary in order to obtain salvation. However, if your confession of Jesus Christ being Lord is a true confession, then you will manifest the Word of God in your life, and other people will see the Word of God in you. They will not only hear you speak it, but they will also see you act like it. And in addition, your life will bear the fruit of righteousness and not the fruit of wickedness. And by the way, the real fruit of righteousness is not riches. It is not fancy clothes, fancy cars, fancy houses, and fancy living. It is not pride in your appearance and lust in your heart. It is not eyes lusting for all kinds of the delicacies of earth. What real righteousness is a desire for heavenly things. If your desires are for more of the things of this world, then your desire is not a righteous desire, but a lust for the toys and trinkets that Satan dangles in your face. Of course, these people don't know they are deceived. They have coveted after the things of this world for so long that they no longer recognize what God's will for them really is. But you don't have to be deceived. Deception is your choice. God promises us that the truth will set us free and that we can have it. He promises us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth of God's Word. But we have to seek for it. And we also have to apply it. In essence, you can have all the foundation stones and building blocks you want. But if you don't begin to lay them in place, the building will never get built. Jesus Christ, as the Word of God, is our cornerstone. And the additional words of the apostles and prophets are the rest of our foundation. But we must make Jesus Lord of our lives so that He can come into us and abide with us and teach us of His ways. The ways of the world are known by many, but it is the sons of God who learn to know the ways of God. And they learn His ways by submitting to His lordship over them.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 48, Is Jesus Lord to You or Just Jesus? As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.